Different Strokes was a 1980 hit sitcom starring Mr. Drummond, who was this kind older gentleman who adopted two young brothers, Willis and Arnold. And Arnold was played, if those that haven't clued into this, Arnold was played by Gary Coleman, the star. And he would look with this incredible, curious expression where the camera would zoom in and his eyes would sort of be like this. When Willis would say something, he would look with this weird expression. What you talking about, Willis? Now, of course, I've heard that a few times in my life. There's no doubt about it. And when we hear the gospel this morning, right, it's one of those times that we want to say, what you talking about, Jesus? Did you just hear what I said? Right? What I read is that Jesus was talking about bringing fire and division and conflict to the world. And we don't like this Jesus, right? We love the Jesus when he's talking about love or telling fascinating parables that intrigue us and twist our worldview. But the Jesus today is not that wise old uncle, nor is he the gentle and comforting teddy bear. Rather, he's this blunt speaker. He's more akin to the bad news bears than a plushy teddy bear. So how do we reconcile this Jesus? How do we make sense of this gospel passage? First, a point to remember is that the gospel is always descriptive. It's always descriptive. It's never prescriptive. The gospel never says go or do or be, but it is always declaring what God has done. Always declaring what God has done. Always declaring God's promise. It's always describing what has happened and what will happen. So in other words, the gospel is descriptive without reservation or condition. So Jesus is addressing his disciples this morning, and he's describing very plainly and bluntly the world we live in and the gospel that he is bringing. Hear this piece of a translation from Eugene Peterson. It helps to sort of bring out this a little bit. Peterson translates the beginning as, I've come to start a fire on this earth. How I wish it were blazing right now, Jesus says. Meaning, Jesus is coming to set fire to the earth, giving us an image of that John the Baptizer who was in the water, who described Jesus as the one who would baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So Jesus is connecting back to the very beginning of the Gospels as the one who is here to baptize you and me into this new creation. Now, sacraments, so we're thinking about baptism here as a descriptive act of God's work in our lives. Sacraments are one of the number one ways we understand this. Because baptism is not a prescriptive moment in our lives. Rather, it is the descriptive moment that we are ushered in, that we are claimed as God's own forever. That we are claimed as God's own forever. It's a description of our relationship with God the Father. Now, Jesus says this to everybody. Using Peterson's translation again, Jesus says, I've come to change everything, to turn everything right side up. Isn't that better than to think about I've come for conflict? To say, I've come to take everything right side up, how I long for it to be finished. Meaning God's hope, God's desire is for all of this to be finished right away. Because Jesus, after all, is both fully God and fully human. And as a human, he's impatient. He wants it to get done right away. Don't we all want that to get done right away? Don't we want all things to be right side up in our lives? If you just closed your eyes for a second, we'll call them people by name, but just say what you wish to be right side up in your life. Think about that. If you're like me, you probably crumble to your knees when this comes up and you maybe scream at God or cry at God or voice a longing for things to be fixed, for estrangements to be untangled from a relationship with an uncle or a brother or a child or a loved one, for a cure to some incurable disease, from relief from the bondage of some chronic illness or the grips of addiction. Answers to questions of why. Why did this tragedy happen? Why is this suffering happening? Maybe even more personal, absolution from something that you've done. We all want things, in other words, to be turned right side up. In our baptism, in the first descriptive part of this text, is that our baptism is the outward and visible sign that Jesus is doing this work in our lives. And yet for many of us, right, at least if you're like me, you may not really feel this way. You're like, okay, that sounds great, but I still got this laundry list of things that I want fixed, Jesus. So where are you? Because I'm here and I'm feeling this pain, and you're telling me that things are going to be right side up, but they're not. And this is where it gets really sticky in our relationship with God. And it's where Jesus' bluntness is really helpful. It's where his forcefulness and his bluntness is really helpful. Because Jesus says, do you think that I've come to bring peace to the earth? Jesus says, no, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two, and two against three, they'll be divided. It's a really, really hard thing to swallow, isn't it? So think about where we just talked about. We want things to be right side up. And we want Jesus to solve those things. And he just comes to say that I'm not here to solve those things. But is that what he's really saying? No. It's not what he's saying. What he's saying is that his peace, what he's going to offer, is something far beyond what we can comprehend or even begin to understand. We can get glimpses, but we are humans, mere mortals on this earth, and we do not know the peace that he is going to bring. Oswald Chambers, a wonderful 19th century theologian who wrote The Utmost to the Highest, wonderful devotion. He says this: Jesus came to bring a sword through every kind of peace that is not based on our personal relationship with him. So what Chambers is unpacking and what this text is telling us is that Jesus is here to extricate us from all worldly things and to create a relationship with you and with me, an individual relationship between God, our Father, and us. He's saying, no matter all the other things that we attach on to, right? Like family or work or labels or identity. And family is probably the most hot button of them all, which is why he goes at it. And he's saying, what he is doing is he is saying that my peace is not part of this. It's outside of this world. The gospel is set apart from all things. And here's where Jesus takes it to the mattress, if you will, because the gospel dislocates us from all these things, even our own families, and offers us a peace then that doesn't come from human hands. Because when we're dislocated from all things, God can do his work. Robert Capon says it so clearly that God works on dead things. Grace works on dead things. When we let go, when we give up, when we lay down, that is the very moment that God begins to work in our lives. In other words, God's peace does not come through human hands, nor is it found through human means. It comes through Jesus Christ. Robert Hunter, the great lyricist, who wrote many of the Grateful Dead songs, wrote Ripple, which is one of my favorite Grateful Dead songs. And Jerry Garcia sings this line, "Let it be known, there is a fountain that was not made by the hands of men." It's not a fountain, though. It's a cross. And it's a cross that ultimately Jesus will hang on and then die on and accept the judgment of the world. The judgment that was set for you and for me has been washed clean on Jesus' broken body, giving us freedom, mercy, and forgiveness, and reconciling us to the God and the creator of the world. That's the description of your life with Christ. And that's the good news of the gospel. Understanding this gospel, though, is hard, which is why at the very end of this passage in Luke, Jesus goes through and says, you may understand normal patterns of life, such as where the sun comes up, or that the air from the desert brings in the warmth. But the things from God come from above. They have this mysterious quality of where a man that dies gives us life. But it's a quality that is the ultimate good news, because there's no conditions. There's no reservations. It's just love for you and for me. That we're loved beyond measure and accepted beyond reservation and claimed as the unbreakable child of God. Now, again, none of this is easy. And we could wax poetically, or we could hear sermons, or we could smash our head into the ground. However we want to try to get this, but it's really hard. It's really hard to think about God becoming a human, living on this earth, and dying for us, right? It's really hard. And then coming back to make sure we knew it was all true. That's hard. I mean, you can admit it's hard. I'm admitting it's hard. It's where the bridge to sacraments are so helpful. Just to close this sermon with a reflection on my friend George Eager. George died last week in the Philippines. And George was a parishioner of Christ Church in Charlottesville, helped to launch our jail ministry. And George lived, as we all have, a very holy and complicated life. At least I have. I will appreciate that. And more complicated than maybe holy sometimes. But he's a wonderful man, and he found himself in Charlottesville for his later years until he met somebody and moved to the Philippines. And we would just wrestle over hard scriptures like this. George just loved these things. And I found out, I was like, George, why do you like these scriptures? You know, I prefer the parable of the sheep. You know, it's a lot easier. You know, God goes after the one. Or I like the parable of the prodigal son. You know, those are really nice. Or the nativity, stories. All those are really lovely. Why do you like these passages? And he goes, because it brings to mind power, sacrament, Holy Communion, where I remember the full promise of God. He goes, when I wrestle and I bump into a mystery and I don't know what to think or do or where God is or why this is happening to me, Eager would tell me, I fall to my knees and I can hear those words, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for thee. Preserve thy body and soul into everlasting life, and take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you and for me.